2013. I am Nima Vedati, and on the other end, we got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Confused and irritable. How are you doing, Nima?
I'm calm and happy.
You're kind of quiet. I'm loud and angry. Turn up a little bit.
You're loud
and angry.
Turn up a
little bit. Right, although soon I'll be able to turn you up and down.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about why. Oh,
yeah.
When we were having that knockdown drag out fight that we actually thought about continuing on the show but decided not to.
I didn't get knocked down. I got up again.
I made I made another executive decision. We're not taking calls today. I didn't have time. Okay. I didn't have time to set it up, and I got too much to say, man. And the world needs to hear it.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Because I spent all my preparation for the show mopping the floor and trying to get rid of fleas on all my animals. So that's about all I have to offer today.
You went and got a vacuum. You probably have some flea removal advice, and we are at teaching hospital.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. I went and bought a cheap vacuum cleaner because our more expensive vacuum cleaner crapped out on us.
Well,
man.
I think you want to
vacuum cleaners are better when they're a simple tool, you know, a simple machine. The more complex, the more filters you add. Like our old crappy one had like 3 filters. Like if you're trying to troubleshoot it, you had to check all 3 filters. How ridiculous is that?
Your USB enabled vacuum cleaner with a tachometer on it.
Yeah, with a tachometer and a gasoline engine. Yeah, man, you don't need all that. I bought a $40 vacuum at Walmart, and they insured it for $4 for 2 years. So in 2 years, I get a new vacuum cleaner.
As Homer Simpson said, extended warranty, I'd be a fool not to. I never do that except with like Comrexes and mixers. But so I have a correction. Ian Freeman said on the Derek J interview on the Gumbo, which I'm not going to correct on there because it'd be on someone else's interview. I confused don't take the plea with nevertakeaplea.org. Don't take a plea thing is flyers and definitely acknowledge that there is risk involved. I was confusing it with another organization, and I apologize.
Yeah, although how can you not know risk is involved, man? I don't know.
I'm building up to the dumbest risk I've taken, man.
Well, do you want to drop it now?
No, I want to talk about the name of the cast today. It's Statism equals State is Awesome. Explain that, please.
So, yeah, I was arguing with somebody on Facebook. It wasn't on my page. I think it was on either the Guns and Weed fan page or the Freedom Fiends fan page, which I co-administrate. And somebody was basically arguing that you should spank your kids or else they'll be spoiled and entitled. And so I was arguing against that concept. And I basically said that, you know, violence is the language of statism and we shouldn't teach our kids to speak that language, which is a Molyneux statement. I don't know, maybe he stole it from somewhere else. I don't know. But that's where I heard it. And when I was texting because I was driving and working at the same time. And the way I text when I drive is I use the speech to text function on my Android phone. So you talk into it and then it types out what it thought you said. And for statism, it typed out state is awesome.
That was your autocorrect mishap.
Yes. And that's exactly what statism is, right? I mean, if you are a statist, you believe the state is awesome and you have awe and wonder for it and reverence. And you think it can solve problems that would be unsolvable otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else we got? Let's see. My wife fell asleep last night reading the book Point of Impact that the movie Shooter's based on. And I went in and she was kind of like really blissed out looking with the book open on her chest. Like, I'm dreaming of citizen riflemanship.
Citizen riflemanship. What is that?
Yeah.
Tell people. Tell people what that is and why it's important.
It's the opposite of government guns. Explain that quickly, that Million Man March thing that we really liked that Adam versus the Man did. Million Mom March. It's actually the 400 Mom March, but...
They weren't all moms. There were a lot of dudes.
They were gay dudes trying to get laid by women.
Yeah. or the other gay dudes. Not that there's anything wrong with that, man. There's the pink pistols and gay people like guns too, man. But... Anyway, that was just for the sake of humor. But yeah, Adam Kokesh of Adam V the Man did a great sort of guerrilla video thing. And that's really where I think he's at his best from everything I've seen, man. He's great at those things. And so there was this Million Mom March for gun control at DC. And he goes up to them. And He carries a sign that says, "I have guns, let's talk."
Like, and hey, so he sort of it was sort of like, "Hi, let's talk." I like that. He is so good at that kind of stuff, man. It's if I were the Liberty consultant, and God hopes knows that I am, I would say, "Adam, don't do your studio thing. Don't smoke too much pot. Go out in the street with a bullhorn and talk to Marines and about tell them how you're a Marine and talk to moms and hassle them with bullhorns." And I would tell Ben Quaker, stop interviewing people and then stop doing casts where you're yelling and angry and just be dropping mad science because you're so good at it, man.
Get in where you fit in, and he definitely fits that niche well.
And don't record interviews in cement hallways. Record them in your car, as it says on creamyradioaudio.com.
Creamy radio. Audio.
I lost my guns in an auto-corrected mishap, someone said.
It was really genius. The first little interview thing, he's talking to this old woman, and he's like, "So you think if a nation or a collective group is attacked, they have the right to defend themselves, but if an individual is attacked, they can't defend themselves?" And the lady's like, "Yeah."
Get to the end. You know? Get to the end. The end's the best part. The end. You don't need to, anybody can go watch this video. We don't need to. It's not a Simpsons episode. We don't need to do it word for word. Do the end.
Got it. Well, if you tire, you know, and that's the thing. The good part happens after like the 5 minute mark. So if you just watch the beginning, you didn't get the full thing. He waits until the speech is done. The last keynote speaker finishes, and with perfect timing, Adam Kokesh pulls out the bullhorn and he goes, "You are not for gun control. You want people who work for the government to point their guns at me and everybody else to take the guns away. That's not gun control." And then people start booing him. And then he says, "How are you going to take my guns away?" And they just start screaming and chanting, "Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
USA! USA!"
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was the Democratic version of USA and Merca.
Yeah.
And it was just completely ignorant and cattle-like or sheep-like, whichever.
No.
Yeah. Whichever animal, farmyard animal you prefer. And he just looks at them and he's still got the bullhorn. He goes, "How? You know, not yes, we can. Not if, but how are you going to take my guns away?" Because the obvious answer is you'd have to do it with somebody who has another gun.
And they chant, "Yes, we can." They're going to do it by chanting, "Yes, we can," and the government will take care of the rest. That's their answer.
Yeah. And then people start paper joning him. Like, literally, they put their signs, their paper signs, in between his face and the guy who's filming Kokesh. Like, that's really going to help.
We love, man, they hate the First and Second Amendment. They do, literally, right there.
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, and then whoever's running the PA turns the background music up real loud, you know, like "Don't Stop Believing" or whatever they played after the speaker talked, you know,
his
exit music. Just turn it up real loud so it's hard for him to record. And some lady comes up to him and she's like, "We want to have a conversation." He's like, "Okay, let's have a conversation. My question is, how are you going to take people's guns away? You're going to have to use guns, aren't you?" And she's like, "No, let's have a conversation. You're not having a conversation." And he's like, "Yes, I am. I'm asking you a question. Would you please answer?" And she's like, "No, that's not a question."
That's such insanity, man.
What?
Insanity. Which reminds me of there's this thing on the Twitter. It's called "You Might Be a Dictator," and you do that with a hashtag and then post if. And I said, if you often start sentences what everyone needs to do is, and people at that gun rally were basically saying that.
They were. Well, and then that same lady that was like, "We need to have a conversation." She's like, "Nobody wants to take your guns. We just want you to not have high capacity magazines." And he's like, "Well, I have those too. How are you going to take those from me?"
Yeah.
You know, it's just the
same
thing.
Well, it's the law. You'll just give them up.
Right.
That's what they
exactly.
think. If they think
we'll
about
write
it
this
all.
Thing on paper and then you'll do it because we wrote it on paper.
Do you ever see the you ever see the 1968 classic comedy film The Producers with Mel Brooks?
No. I saw the commercials or the trailer for
it's a real simple premise. It's basically a couple producers or a couple guys pose as Broadway producers and get a bunch of investments and promise 100% of the return to everybody and then hope to lose money and make something called Springtime for Hitler, and it ends up being a hit and they make money, and that's a problem for them because they promised away like 8,000% of it. I'll talk more about that when we come back.
All right.
This is good.
Sounds funny.
And it relates to "You Might Be a Dictator If."
Dictator.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies. scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends. This is the Fiends. This is the Sunday live show on LRN. That, yeah. It's March 3rd, 2013. And Michael was going to continue a little bit with his Hitler in Springtime reference. And then we'll get into a little bit of personal confession from Michael W.D.
Yeah. Well, I do have another movie interjection here before I talk about Springtime for Hitler. Okay. Catless Shrugged, great name, said in the chat room, said, I watched a film this week named The Wind That Shakes the Barley about the Irish resistance. The British were dicks, but what was funny was that they called the rebels fiends. I got to check that film out, man. Yeah.
Really?
Good. Yeah.
Why fiends were they calling them? Was that like a version of fiends, or was it?
It's German for gay. I don't know. Or the fairies.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. So
in this movie, Springtime for Hitler in Germany, Winter for Poland and France. So they want to cast the worst actors they can. So they go to this like hippie playhouse, like off Broadway. And there's these hippies doing this play, and the guy is singing. There's like girls in go-go skirts, and the guy is singing. He says, "What we need to do, man." You see, it's that "what everyone needs to do, man." What we need to do, man, is get rid of all the guns and replace them with flowers. And that's a line in his play. He's saying, you know, he's being a dictator. He's saying what everyone needs to do is.
Yeah.
And I thought of this before I saw that the other day for the first time ever. And they immediately, they love that, and they go, "We're casting you as Adolf Hitler." So that's, you might genius. Be a dictator if you often start sentences with, "You know what everyone should do," or any variation.
Everybody knows somebody in their life that says that kind of crap all the time, and it's so annoying, and I hate it when people do it. They say things like, "Well, what we should do is just sterilize all the dumb people.
Yeah.
We'll have IQ tests, and if you can't reach a certain level of IQ, we'll just chop your balls
off." My whole life I've heard things like that, you know, or "What we need to do is, you know, get rid of nuclear power, or get rid of coal burning power and just have nuclear power, or we need to, you know," and it's all these things that to try to even come close to making everyone do it, you'd have to point guns at heads.
Yes.
And people don't realize that. They think like,
no,
we'll just pass laws and then people will voluntarily do it. Like the way we pay taxes voluntarily. Yeah.
Well, they're wrong. And they miss that unseen human element, which I don't even think should be unseen. It's so obviously there. But for some reason, they're too low IQ'd to see it. And, you know, you see this in pretty much so many different government documents throughout history, even in the Constitution, even the Three-Fifths Compromise. Me and my wife were talking today because we were talking about a Lupe Fiasco line where he says, you know, we weren't equal in your math. And that's what he's talking about is, you know, black people, for purposes of apportioning representatives, were three-fifths of a person. And whoever wrote that, when they were sitting in the boardroom, they were probably like, oh, yeah, that's really fair. Yeah, three-fifths. That's well, you know, compromise. That's a good way to apportion. Yeah. That's a good compromise. And yes, functionally, for what your purposes are doing, yeah, that's a good thing. But what you're really saying is that these humans are worth three-fifths
of a regular human. What did it actually mean? I mean, was that just for census or for – because they didn't get to vote. It wasn't like if five of you vote yes, we'll count it as three. They didn't vote. What was it for?
No, but I think it was for deciding maybe it was how big the districts were. It was for how many representatives a certain state gets in
the
House.
To represent the people that don't get represented. Yeah.
Okay. I think that was it. I could be wrong.
Oh, it was to prevent the South from having too much sway. Yeah.
Because the South had a lot more population, but a lot of those people were slaves.
Congressmen per state. Yeah.
Which weren't real people. They were a little bit more than half of people, apparently.
Yep. So here's the part where I beg for money for the fiends.
Because you know, we're slaves.
We spent all this money. People donated money. We dipped into our pockets. I sold silver. You know, dipped into our savings, sold buttons, did everything we could to get all the equipment we needed for radio. And with what's coming Monday for me, my new compressor, 2 p.m., I thought we had everything we needed. And I guess I'm just always three pieces of gear away from perfection, because last night Ian Freeman was cool enough to spend an hour with me trying to test the Comrex. And the Comrex works, but it didn't work in a usable way for radio because we don't have the right mixer. He was like, oh, you have that mixer? I used to have that. No, you need this mixer. And we need a mixer that you can do like separate bus returns with. It's kind of complicated, but my mixer can't do it. So I dropped $360 out of pocket that I'm hoping to pay back somehow, some way. And the fiends, man. Fiends need money.
It's a giant, wonderful mixer, and it's huge, and it's really important. And really, Michael will have basically a radio studio. Sans the thing that would actually broadcast it, but that's what the Comrex is for getting all that data and sound to and from an actual radio station that will send it up to a satellite and then back down to other radio stations who will give it to all of you people in your cars. But you ready for your confession, Michael, or do you want to wait till the next segment?
You know, I was like cashing in silver, cashing in this and that, and then I was like, oh, Bitcoin, let's check the Bitcoin. And we have 3.4 Bitcoin in donations that we've gotten over the past year and a half. And the Bitcoin price is higher than ever. It's like a Bitcoin is an ounce of silver now. It's like $30 or $32, something like that.
Yeah.
And so I went to cash it. I was like, posted on Twitter, got someone who said they'd give me $100 for it. It was $112 worth, but I wanted to unload it right now for the fiends. And he's like, cool. And so I, you know, updated. I watched the whole thing updated. I hadn't done it in a while. It takes like, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, which is kind of like watching paint dry. But I realized it's a beautiful thing because you're basically downloading a record, a complete record of the entire Bitcoin economy. You know, like you can't even audit the Fed to give you like the lying, like redacted version of what's true. Imagine if you could just download a record of the United States economy for all time. That's what you're doing when you sync Bitcoin. So I sat and watched it do that. And then I'm like, okay, I'll send you the money now. Then you can PayPal me. And I forgot my passphrase. I did the worst thing a libertarian can do, except aggress on somebody. I forgot my Bitcoin passphrase.
That is like the worst thing. That's it like is. Locking your keys in the car to the power of infinite.
Yeah. And, you know, it's only $100 and it may occur to me in a dream next week or something and I'll remember it. But for now, we've taken down that we're taking Bitcoin donations. Eventually, I'll put up another wallet with a new address. But those three Bitcoins are just gone. I'm incredibly embarrassed. I spent 90 minutes typing stuff in, and it was basically like I've never lost a password in like 20 years of computing. And I write them down. I have them encrypted. I have them backed up elsewhere encrypted. And but it was like, you know, there's a thing with passwords of like, especially if it's a resident on your computer, it's often better to have like a bonehead guessable password than to have one you forget. And so I had a bonehead password, you know, like it was like a word and one number or something. And I couldn't remember it. I said, I'll never forget this, so I don't need to write it down. And I didn't check it for like 4 months, and I have forgotten it. And I spent 90 minutes typing in variations of what I thought I might use. And I was so tired. I've slept like 5 hours a night for the past 4 nights because I've been worrying about the fiends and getting on radio. We're getting on radio, but like, how are we going to get the money for all this? So I was not going to tell anyone that I lost my password, but I'm like, okay, this is a $100 lesson. People, write down your Bitcoin. Don't lose your Bitcoin password because the money's gone. It's gone, 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 gone. And we are a teaching hospital, so that's why I told you about it. All right, we'll be back. Sin Fiend. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money. Sinn Féin? Not Sinn Féin. Nima.
Yeah.
Nima
well,
Fiend.
Why don't you just get them to reset it?
Reset what?
Your Bitcoin password.
Hello. Hello, you have reached the Bitcoin reset line. Please press 1 if you're a stupid idiot and have lost your Bitcoin password. Please press 2 if you think it's someone else's fault and would like to request a refund you'll never get. Please. No, man. The whole point is you can't reset the password. There's no hint. There's no central database. That would make Bitcoin not work the way Bitcoin does. We are a teaching hospital, so I am willing to admit my failure. I've done the stupidest thing a libertarian could do except commit aggression. I lost the Bitcoin password. And, you know, basically it's like if you had a wallet full of cash and you lost it, could you call someone and have them reset the cash for you? You know, if you had a wallet, if you had a bag of silver in your pocket and you lost it, could you ask for the password hint to get that back? No, man. Bitcoin's all about, it's your wallet, it's your property, it's on your side. You can download the whole environment, the whole universe, and know what's going on. And yours is in there somewhere, but you need your password to be able to give it to somebody or sell it to somebody. So,
Is this a problem that could theoretically be fixed somehow? Like, could people have add-on software to the... Because what the wallet is, right, is the wallet's just kind of a freeware
anything you could do, anything you could do like that, it could be done, but anything you could do like that would weaken the perfection that is Bitcoin.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it was on a personal... I choose to have this extra... measure of ease for myself on my Bitcoin wallet. I have wallet dat app 3.0 or something.
There could be a service somewhere that you pay one Bitcoin a year to be a part of, and they'll store your password for you, and you can call them 24/7 on the phone, and they'll give you a hint, and you can reset it. That would make it easier for someone to get the password by hacking them, and it would make it easier for someone to call up and just guess stuff until they give it to them.
Right. I think there is, though, isn't there? Aren't there companies that sort of are customer service for Bitcoin people? I seem to remember Ben Stone talking to somebody at that whatever was in New Hampshire last weekend.
The New Hampshire Bad Recording Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As some guy was saying, he worked for a company that does customer service and helps people get started with Bitcoin and figure it out and use it. And he's like, yeah, I helped set Jeff Tucker up with his Bitcoin wallet. And I helped
Jeff Tucker needed help with his Bitcoin wallet?
Some other big person with it. Well, I mean, if you wear a tuxedo and a bow tie or a suit and a bow tie every day and you are like this dapper face of libertarianism and you just like to have the money and just like to outsource that kind of stuff to somebody, like, you know, like a teller at the bank. Yeah, go take care of my stuff.
I don't know, man.
Go take care of my Bitcoin.
I slave over a hot computer, so I don't have to do stuff like that. But
yeah,
now,
well, you're a do-it-yourself kind of guy. There's different kinds of people.
If you're a high-level hacker and you have it on your machine and you have like your exported encrypted wallet, you know, like backup too, and if you have any memory of how many characters it is or any part of it, you might be able to hack it. But there's no way I can do it. And I'd have to pay someone more than $100 to do it. So,
right. And I'm reading a form right now where somebody says they lost a large amount of Bitcoin and they were trying to shop it out to hackers to see if somebody could help him with it. He says he knows part of the password.
Did he succeed?
I haven't got to the end of it now, but he was offering quite a bounty. I guess this was 2000. This was a little bit more than a year ago, I guess, or a little bit less. So
I'm reading
I don't know
a form.
How much Bitcoins were then.
I'm reading a form.
It was like $50 to $100 of Bitcoin, or 50 to 100 Bitcoins he was offering for a bounty. So he must have had a lot of Bitcoin.
I'm reading a forum that says Jeff Tucker has an embroidered Bitcoin wallet. We like the guy. We're just teasing because he's dapper.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're kind of dapper, but I'm a slob, man. I look like a lesbian going to the farmer's market most of the time, man.
You look like somebody who would work at Women and Women First, the bookstore.
I do. No, they're more dapper
no,
than
kidding.
I am.
Don't.
They're more dapper than I am, actually.
Oh, come on. That's funny because it's self-deprecating, but don't beat yourself up, Michael.
I already did, man. Someone said I should go stand in the corner for losing my passphrase. I already did all day, man. And then took some of it out on you, I think. So I was thinking, like, when we get this mixer, it's giant. I'm barely going to have room for it, even with my new table in my room that I pulled up from downstairs and made a Franken table out of parts of another table. And I'm thinking, like, I may eventually, when the Fiends get on radio, I may have to move it all down in the basement because there's more room down there. And it's a nice basement. You've been there. But thing is, part of my podcast ritual, I mean, my radio cast ritual is looking out the window at the squirrels. And then I was thinking, what if I put a webcam in my backyard and then had my flat screen down in the basement so I could watch the squirrels? And I was realizing that, like, that might work, but the way I had it set up in my mind, I'd be facing the front of the house and the squirrels in the back of the house. So I would literally, I'm so dyslexic that I would have to turn everything around and face the direction that the camera's facing, or it wouldn't make sense to me, even though I'm in a windowless basement.
Okay. Would the resolution even be good enough to pick out the squirrels and see them?
Not with the webcam I have now, but I'm sure we could say, the Fiends are one high-quality webcam away from... We need
so
donations for Michael.
Look at the squirrels through a security camera.
Squirrel cam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what you could do is you could just like play squirrel video on a loop or something. You know, like
No, it has to be live. I have to know what's happening. I have to know what's happening out there, man.
You're a live webcam kind of guy. I see.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about how, like, we want our favorite callers to get Audio Cactus, which we're also buying tomorrow for $400 for two, licenses, but we want really devoted Fiends to buy a copy of it too, so they can call in and sound like they're in the studio with us. And I was thinking, like, you know, high level talk radio people like, Stern, and Rush, they have regular callers and they kind of usually sound better than the other callers. So I'm wondering, like, you know, do they buy them a Comrex or something? Look under your chairs. You get a Comrex and you get a Comrex
like
and
Oprah.
You get a Comrex. Yeah.
Nice. Well, if you look under the seat of
$1,400
car,
each
for their audiences.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Comrex makes a mobile unit, but it's, they uses a G4 network, but it's $3,500 instead of,
I bet they just have some kind of outboard gear that processes the phone signal in some very smart way to make it sound as good as possible.
No, you know what I've heard is that they actually have paid actors being the callers, the pro and con callers. And they probably are in LA, like, clocking in for work. Like, okay, I got to go down and, you know, they're in a building that has a, you know, Comrex line and a satellite line. Yeah. To New York. Yeah. Probably.
That's what you do till you get a spot on a, Crest commercial is you do Rush Limbaugh calls. Okay.
You do angry caller number 4.
Yeah.
You know what you people should all do?
Didn't somebody do some kind of investigative journalism on that? I don't remember if it was Rush Limbaugh. Yes. But somebody did it about morning zoo crew shows.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but yeah, it was a bunch of them. They have paid callers that are actors reading a script. Or like a scenario. Right. They give them a scenario and let them, they're people that are good at ad-libbing. They tell them what to talk about, though.
Right, right. And it was kind of this whole ethical quandary of, well, you know, on the radio, the morning zoo, these various morning zoo crew people across the country aren't saying this is real. They're not like, these are real callers. And so they're not necessarily portraying it as, you
they
know,
do
not
them
really
with political,
telling a lie.
They do them with political shows, though. That is kind of a lie.
Do they?
You know, okay. It's not like, hey, it's Gidget the Midget Lesbian from New Jersey. No, it's like people calling, you know, it's a lie. It's, you know, it's theater. Yeah. I didn't really lose my Bitcoin wallet. I just thought the big, no, I did. I lost my passphrase. Wouldn't that be funny, though, if I just was like, yeah, we don't have anything to talk about today. Hey, say you lost your Bitcoin phrase.
Yeah, yeah. That's not us.
Speaking of radio, the people I bought the Comrex from, BSW, I'm following them on Twitter. They're following me, although they have not retweeted the pictures of the Comrex with the guns and cat that I posted, but they post other people's pictures. But there's another company that sells stuff like BSW, and Twitter said, well, you like radio gear? Check these people out. And I went to their website. And it was really like one worldy compared to the place I go. And it was really like, you know, we celebrate the diversity of the world. But on the front page, there was our company name salutes the troops. And it showed a bunch of modern American soldiers sitting around listening to the radio. And I was like, these people sell worldwide. I wonder if that, and I went through my VPN and nope, that ad did not come up. It was like, Bill Wilson from WZZZ in Albany says, I love the quick service this company provides. Right. I hit refresh both times and it's like, yeah, they support the troops in America.
And that was when you were coming from some Eastern European server, right?
Yeah.
So it looked like you weren't American.
Troops. They support the troops in America, but not everywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I actually found some hilarious websites
when
I was looking for gear, but
we're out.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like The Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Then no one would listen if we just begged all day. We want to thank David for the $30 donation. You rock. You rock.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David. Yeah, man, about the Bitcoin thing, I guess just don't sweat it. It'll probably come to you, man. It's like losing your wallet. You might find it eventually. It's possible,
except,
man.
With your wallet, there's a slim chance some honest person might find it and give it back to you, at least without the money. But no, it's gone, man. Yeah. Although maybe I could do like, you know, since I'm sure the central scrutinizer has keyloggers on my computer, maybe I should do a FOIA request and get my get my passphrase from the government.
Right. Yeah, we've thought about doing that before for lost audio.
Yeah.
Just call up the NSA. Yeah, can I have my conversation from April 15th, 2000?
The second hour. We got the first hour, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, FTG, yo.
Yeah.
For reals. Oh, in case you didn't know, this is the Freedom Fiends on LRN.FM. It is March 3rd, 2013. We are a call-in show, but Michael wants to complain for most of the episode, so we're going to let him go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Well, I was just stealing time for the Fiends. I thought I remembered my passphrase, but I don't. So, and every time you do it, like, it takes like 5 or 10 minutes to open up the wallet because it has to like re-download all the latest transactions. And yeah, man, it's got its limitations, but I love it. Basically, I'm trying to have a happy lining here. It's like my $100 loss hopefully will keep somebody else, a bunch of people, from losing several hundred dollars. Really, man. Yeah, don't lose your passphrase and back up your wallet. So.
Well, I mean, it seems really obvious, but maybe it's not always, especially to everybody, because, you know, if I lose my Google password, it's no big deal. If I lose any other password, pretty much, it's not that big of a deal. There's either a security question or they can reset it for me. Bitcoin is not forgivable like that.
And you know, part like I said, of why it works. Forum,
yeah, it's part of why it works. And like I said, I was reading a forum of some guy who must have had something like six figures because he was offering a lot of bitcoins to try to get hackers to find his password and throw lots of what they called brute force at it. Which,
dude,
if I had thousands, one
of the reasons I never bothered like worrying that much about it is because for a while we had like one bitcoin in there, and a bitcoin is worth $12, and I haven't checked it. And now we have 3.4 Bitcoin, and they're worth $30 each, you know? So
it
kind of was. But if I had thousands of dollars worth, I'd have like little thumb drives with everything I need, like stashed into the wall of, you know, the garage or something. And then I'd forget where they are and get the pickaxe out. So,
right.
Yeah. What happens? Someone asked, what happens to those Bitcoins? They're gone. They're not spendable, you know, and nanny staters would get mad at me. It's like smashing a guitar. You know, you've taken wealth and destroyed it. No, we took wealth and earned it. And
well,
we're
at the bottom of an ocean, like a pirate ship got sunk. And maybe one day somebody can figure out how to.
Maybe if I went to years of therapy and hypnosis, we could recover the password. It's in my head, man. That's what was maddening about this. It's in my head. It's not on a slip of paper. I looked everywhere. It's not encrypted on my hard drive. It's not encrypted on my hard drive. It's not on my wife's computer. It's not on my other computer. It's not on my other computer. It's gone, daddy gone, man.
Wouldn't it be great if you could do like in Windows, when you click the Windows thing and you search for a file, like, I thought I had a file that was this, and you just search for something with a similar name, it just pulls it up. Wouldn't it be great if you could do that with your brain?
Yeah. Someone just asked, I guess we're having a longer delay than usual. Someone said, you know, can someone else grab them somehow? And I'm like, no, it's like gold at the bottom of the ocean, I typed, like you just said, man.
Well,
but the ocean is my head.
If somebody had some kind of insane expedition to go to the bottom of the ocean and sink a lot of resources, maybe they could.
Someone said, have you tried coffee? I've had an almost lethal amount of coffee today and slept an average of 5 hours a night for 4 nights. Coffee is not going to help me. Sleep might help me, and I tried before the cast and couldn't. So, yeah. So
sleep could help you. But speaking of brains and stuff, did you see this, that supposedly scientists were able to get mice, their brains linked together? So one mice could think things
networked
and
mice.
Other mice. Networked mice.
Is there a Stuxnet's virus where one mouse can infect another one?
Maybe.
You know, when I first got the Comrex and plugged it,
endless.
The Comrex, when you plug it in, like nothing happens for 60 seconds and then the lights flash when it's ready. And I missed it the first couple times, and I thought it didn't work. I thought like the central scrutinizer had intercepted the package of this thing we need, like our golden key to the world of radio, and put like a Stuxnet virus in it.
That's insane. But yeah, that didn't happen. But yeah, so, man, I mean, the future is you won't even need Comrexes, or you won't even need to write your password for Bitcoin down somewhere. You'll be able to access your brain like a hard drive and save it onto an actual physical hard
drive. How many mice connected with USB cables would I need hooked up to my brain to extract this password with brute force miceware?
It depends on what you're feeding the mice.
Crack.
Crack? Okay, then I think you need like 5.
So, speaking of drug laws, in New York State, the penalty for over a 10-round magazine is now more severe, or will be soon, than being a repeat child molester.
A repeat child molester.
Yeah, it's going to be a third-degree Class D violent felony to have a full-capacity mag.
Wow.
Now, as long as you have absolutely no follow-up questions, I just read the headline. So,
okay. Well, I'd like to see the headline. I've seen the meme floating around that, you know,
no, it's true.
Having 8 bullets in your gun is worse than being a child molester in New York now.
Yeah, but it's actually, if it's over 10, there's different levels of child molesting, gun owning. So what this reminds me of is Abby Hoffman, who wrote Steal This Book, wrote a follow-up called Revolution for the Hell of It in 1968. And at that time, the governor of New York, Nelson Rockefeller, who is what the word Rockefeller Republican is named after. It's basically a billionaire Democrat who wants to run everyone's lives and runs as a Republican. And, you know, who drinks owl's blood at the Grove. But, he wanted to pass a drug law in New York that if you sold weed or any drug, any amount, to anyone under 18, it would be life in prison without a chance of parole. So Abby Hoffman, in Revolution for the Hell of It, came up with a sort of modest proposal that actually influenced that law not getting passed. He said, if you are selling weed to a kid and you think he's a cop or he's, you know, going to narc on you, pull out a gun and murder him. Between the gun charge, the murder charge, and the drug charge, you will do less time than you would under this law.
I see. Yeah, that's a really good point. So the unintended consequence of things like that and these social engineering laws is that when you try to throw these insane penalties at people,
kids
will
just
pick up. Well, although
he didn't really mean it.
Are criminals really thinking of that kind of stuff?
He didn't really mean it, though. It was a modest proposal to make a point.
Right.
But
right.
So I guess, is there a parallel for that? Like, if you live in New York and you have a 15-round mag, you should just go molest a child and throw the mag away.
Well, if the kid's gonna narc on you, I guess so.
Too soon.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
You know, this whole thing about getting on radio, man, I've just been edgy. I mean, I know it's gonna happen, and they said it's gonna happen, but it's like a Michael deferred is a Michael denied.
Yeah. Hell hath no fury like a Michael scorned.
Although now that I have a micronation, my wife has a good honorific title for me. It's Your Lawlessness. Yes, Your Lawlessness.
Ah, yes. And we did come up with an official name for my micronation.
Yeah.
We're the Anarchic Ordergarchy of Vedati Stansky.
Yeah, and it's Ordergarchy instead of Oligarchy.
Ordergarchy.
Because there is order, because it's chaotic, or not chaotic, it's anarchic order.
Anarchic.
And why is the ski? Because that's in your wife's last name, and you hyphenate.
Ah, yes, because her last name is Romanowski.
So. But does she yet know that she is the queen of a micronation?
Yes, I did. I did tell her yesterday.
How'd she take it?
She took it very well, and she said, "Does that mean I get tacos now?" And I said, "Sure."
And you went and got tacos.
I went and got tacos. Yeah, that was our first act as a royal couple, was getting tacos.
I think if Michelle Obama had her way, getting tacos would be a violent Class D felony.
Right. Unless they were whole wheat tacos with aspartame in the meat. And not real meat, but like ground up bread or something.
Yeah. So I was going through what they call the 6 stages of House of Cards grief when the last episode finished last week.
What are the 6 stages of House of Cards grief?
Oh, denial, bargaining, anger. And the last one, I think, is watching the 1991 BBC House of Cards that it's based on, which is good. But as I put it, you were like, I didn't talk to you for 3 days while I was watching it. And you're like, why is Michael calling me and bothering me at work? And then like when I'm watching the BBC one, I did call you between episodes and you're like, oh, I thought you were watching that other one. I'm like, it's good, but it's not turn off the phone good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The British one's a little bit different though. The guy, Conservative Party and not part of the Democratic Party, like the president in the American version. And I just thought
the congressman.
The congressman, right.
And the president.
Well,
but
the president in power in the American version, too. I thought it was just because they wanted to pick on the party in power, and maybe the conservatives were in power in England then.
They were.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll have more Freedom Fiends coming in the second hour. Stay tuned.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Yeah! It's the Fiends.
Ow.
Ow. Sorry. Was that all distorted from Mumble?
Yeah, sound horrible, man. Horrible.
Horrible.
But most of what you do with the mixer sounds good. With the effects sounds good.
Yeah, it's just Mumble. It distorts when there's too much going on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
In case anyone's asking, I'm not selling my other mixer because we're going to require two mixers. We need to use my other mixer as the USB interface with the computer that's going to have Audio Cactus on it. So, because you cannot, I learned from Ian Freeman, who knows this stuff like the back of his hand, you cannot do a mix minus using USB. So we have to go from the computer to my old mixer via USB. And then use balanced XLR inputs and outputs, which I also bought more cables of that today, to go into the big mixer, which can do the mix minus. But I will be able to turn you down and up. So that's good. And not to censor you. I mean, like, you know, I'm always going, turn down, turn up, turn down, turn up. And you're like, Michael, just tell me on the pigeons. And then I do, and you I do and you never see it because you have the sound turned off. So
no, I see it and I do it. It's just I can't monitor what you're hearing. Yeah. So I can turn up what I think is appropriate, and then you're like, I know, I couldn't tell. I couldn't notice the difference. And then I turn up again, you're like, too loud. Nemo. It hurts.
It hurts my little kitty ears.
Yeah.
My ears are a good canary in the coal mine, and they're more sensitive than most people, which makes me, you know, a better sound engineer, but it also makes me, like, I have to mute commercials, and, you know, when I hear stuff on radio go, Sunday, you know, I go, ow. But it's a good canary in the coal mine, because if it hurts me, it may hurt other people. I'm like the bare threshold of the compressor set on one.
There you go. There you go. Good call.
Yeah.
Audio problems to sort through, and we will blog and write articles about how
we'll blogging and toboggan.
We'll blogging and we'll toboggan on our new Creamy Radio Audio website. And so if you want to avoid running into the same brick walls that we do occasionally.
That Ben Stone did, recording in a hallway.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that kind of stuff happens. Like, I remember being a reporter out in the field.
Not to me.
Yeah, but sometimes people will be like, oh, I got like 5 seconds. And you're like, okay, just go in here real quick and say this one thing. You know, tell me what you're going to say. And you just do it right on the spot because they have to run real quick. So that occasionally happens. But in news, you end up making a package. So you'll take one clip that they said and you'll, you know, it's just audio is kind of not great for 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And you can EQ it and fix it in post. But yeah, man, if you can, if you have control and you're at like a forum or something like that, the best thing, like you said in your thing, go in your car, go in your hotel room, go in some place that doesn't have reflective surfaces.
Go into a conference room that's empty, just guerrilla style. Just go in there, don't ask for permission, just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Exactly, man. But for more on that, go check out creamyradioaudio.com.
So do you want to read this thing? It's below the 6 stages of House of Cards grief about the patent weenies and how it may not affect us. And this is... this is not legal advice, but it's from someone who has patents and hires patent attorneys.
Yes. So an anonymous ANCAP friend of ours who happens to own a lot of patents said that this of the patent troll situation. He said, so this is a division of a patent from 1996, and it's an application an application, so it's not in force yet. It would require some digging into the former family members, but I think this one can be navigated. The claim one is enormous, and it looks like you are exempt as long as your serial casts contain information from the last cast. Since you have advertisements, which are identical 30 seconds from cast to cast, you are probably clear. See the claim language of, quote, which were not attribute data of prior version of said compilation file, whatever that means. Okay, so basically our friend who knows about patents said that these guys have a silly case and it won't affect us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also said or told you that, you know, if he did this, the patent is a U.S. patent. So all you would have to do is host your RSS feed from offshore, like the Czech Republic or something.
Yeah.
So don't worry that podcasting is going to go away because of a patent troll.
Yep. You know, the fiends like to give back. Somebody, the people who ordered my old preamp, somebody ordered it for her boyfriend as a present and told me not to tell him. And he's a fiends fan. And I shipped it up, put a new tube in it because it was a present. And sent them two packs of fiends buttons with it. And they're both like, man, this is like Christmas. Thank you. And the guy's like, I have the best girl ever. And thank you for helping out.
Yeah, yeah. And you sent him the link to the YouTube video where you actually show how to change the tube in the Art preamp. And that's
stalking me on Twitter?
Yes, I am. And that's the actual video. That's the actual preamp that he got in that video.
His preamp is famous. Yeah.
Yeah, the preamp is famous. Yeah,
it's an internet star.
When the gun I had was on the Wikipedia page for Open Carry, the actual gun that I owned.
It's not anymore.
No. It's not. They took that down.
No. They put up a guy, but I was holding a snowball in the picture, which was confusing. Like, okay, does open carry mean you carry a gun and then throw snowballs at people and try to start fights and shoot them? What is it? From an encyclopedic point of view, they had a good point. It wasn't the best illustration.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
enough. Yeah.
Yes. It is to protect me from those hard ice snowballs that other people try to throw at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a new offer this month. If you donate and you're in America, I can't pay shipping outside of America, but if you donate any amount over $10 to the Fiends this month for the next 30 days, we will send you a free $10 value pack of Fiends buttons.
Yes. I was just going to say that. Yeah. So,
you know, if you donate $100, you might get two packs. The Fiends need it, man. Get on radio. Wow.
Nice. Nice.
See, it was a little more subtle. Didn't hurt your kitty ears, did it?
No. It did not.
I want to review a movie you haven't seen.
All right, go for it.
It's a DVD you can get on Netflix. It's called Nomads in No Zones. It's the short films of Greta Snyder and Vanessa Renwick. And I knew Greta Snyder in San Francisco. She was a prominent scenester. I never slept with her, but I did sleep with her girlfriend. And I mean girlfriend. Films are very art school. But they have a lot of people I know, and some are filmed at The Farm, that punk rock club that was a farm that I've talked about. And if you, I don't recommend it for the filmmaking, though the fact that Greta made films on Super 8 before most people I knew made films sort of inspired me to take up filmmaking. But I recommend it for seeing the mid-80s Frisco punk scene that I talk about all the time and where my band Bomb came out of. So, but I highly recommend the DVD extra, Greta's called I Heard You Were Dead, which is like a 30-minute spoken word piece. There's no video. And it's her talking about the scene and the people I knew, everyone I knew, and where she hung out. And there was something I forgot about was there's a connection of two people we've talked about that I didn't connect. I forgot to. Do you remember when we talked about me getting in a pod beef on Facebook with a woman who was a school teacher? And I was saying, like, public schools should be abolished. It's stealing. And she's like, but no, I help the children. And like she ended up getting really mad at me. She was the girlfriend of Eric Rad, the guy who died on stage at the Mabuhay Gardens from electrocution.
And also another follow up on that. There's a wiki entry about his death from that electric shock.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a proper ground in the club.
If you search Housecoat Project, that's the name of the band. And she was in Shiva Dancing, the school teacher I yelled at, the cello player. Yeah.
What's Shiva Dancing?
That was her band.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so patent trolls are Bill Clinton's fault. You want to read the where did it all go wrong? Your boy, Bill Clinton, the one you
he's
wrote
not
the
my boy.
You in 11th grade, you wrote a term paper praising him.
I did, but
about the time he was doing this.
Okay. Before we get into that, though, I'd like to say I've made amends by helping to guide my family members to true principled anarchy.
There you go.
My little brother, Knight. Well, he was actually going to call in. I guess we're not taking calls this Sunday, but maybe he'll call in next week for you and Ben. But he had to write a paper in a language arts class about how to make the world a better place.
I think he should get Audio Cactus. I would love him to sub for you sometime. It'd be great to have a whole cast of him with me.
He would love that too. He would love that too. But his topic was we should all stop voting, and that would make
what
the
everyone
world a
should
place.
Do. The only valid what everyone should do is stop aggressing, and then he's got it right there. You know
exactly
what everyone should do is stop telling everyone what they should do.
There you go. Ban banning.
Yes. Yeah.
And we'll be back in just a little bit.
Go, go, freedom fiends.
Freedom fiends. Helping the helpless.
Freedom fiends.
Saving the universe.
Freedom fiends.
Doing the things that I've
said. Taking the world from the state. Fighting the forces of hate.
Freedom fiends.
Helping the helpless.
Freedom fiends.
Kicking the hornet's nest.
Freedom fiends.
Doing the things that I've said.
Keeping the tasers away. You should be free, not a slave. You'll hear the truth today. Yeah, we will not force you to
stop in the cops on the block. For the fiends on the block, ain't never gonna stop in the glass. Go blow.
Yo.
Yo.
Welcome back, fiends. This is Freedom Fiends, the LRN Sunday show.
I was feeling great until I heard Mark in the ad say, and you could pay with Bitcoin. This is a bad
don't
station,
blame the Bitcoin,
this
man.
Is a bad station
blame
to
yourself.
Listen to if you're feeling bad about Bitcoin and don't want to hear about it for a while. Because it's a good station for Bitcoin.
Hey, man. Lesson learned. And like I said, it's possible it could come to you in a dream, man. You never know.
And it's possible I saved other people from the same pain.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it's about, man. Paying it forward.
Yeah, like you used to love Bill Clinton, and now you're paying it forward to hate Bill
exactly,
Clinton.
Exactly. And now people understand why Bill Clinton is an evil statist, and statism means status awesome, and that's why statism
I'm
going to
use
bad.
That picture that someone, for this episode, I'm going to use that picture someone made of you with a drone flying over your head. Your state is awesome.
Okay, good. So, one of the reasons why Bill Clinton screwed the world up, or one example, I guess, is in 1994, Bill Clinton broke the long-standing and utterly sensible tradition that an actual patent lawyer should be commissioner of the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
And that's statist, but in the statist world, that does make more sense than what he did.
Yeah. And what he did was appoint Bruce Lehman.
Some
Lehman,
dude.
Lehman. Well, not just some dude, but at the time, he was the chief lobbyist for the software publishing industry.
Which is interesting because he tried to use government guns to protect the software publishing industry, and it bit the ass of the software publishing industry in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And under his leadership, the patent office changed the rules to allow much broader patents to be issued, often spanning completely different technological areas. So, I mean, this is the road you go down to where Apple can say things like, well, page turn animations, that's us. You can't do that.
I mean, appointing that guy is so crazy. I mean, that would be as stupid as doing something that they would never do, like, you know, appointing the former head of Monsanto to the head of the FDA or something. I mean, nothing like that could ever happen, but, you know.
Well,
that did happen.
Maybe not the head. Okay. I didn't know if it was the head, but I know there's such a revolving door that high officials are always going in back and forth.
From the FDA and the Department of Agriculture to and from Monsanto. But yeah.
Exactly. Not only that, but this guy that Clinton appointed as head of the U.S. Patent Office was one of the main authors of the widely reviled Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and he helped to negotiate the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights trade agreement. And let's see, anything else interesting about Bill Clinton's horribleness here?
No, just that he was killing people at the same time to get people from not talking about his weenie.
He was starving people to death, like the Louisiana state officials.
Well, no,
did to
like
those
the day the thing broke with Monica Lewinsky, like 2 days later, he bombed an aspirin factory in Kazakhstan or something, and said that.
I think it was Africa.
Weapons
and I think
of
that,
mass
that was a misnomer too. I don't even think it was. From what I heard, it was not only aspirin, or maybe in addition to aspirin, or maybe even instead of aspirin, it was also antibiotics.
Yeah.
So people were dying of diseases.
He denatured that country.
Well, it was the region, like I guess it was most of sub-Saharan Africa, I think, that was dependent on that factory.
So the other day I was listening to videos of music on YouTube. I couldn't live without music when I was younger. Like I had a Walkman when they had Walkmans, and I used to kill
I
went through batteries all the time, man.
Yep.
But I would listen to a lot of music like every day for a long time, you know, basically since I got into talking to the world and liking the sound of my own voice. So, but every once in a while I go, oh yeah, I love music. And I listen to a whole bunch in one day. And I was listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers and Death Clock back and forth, back and forth. And the funny thing was the same ads kept coming up for each band. For the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the ads I was getting were Price Waterhouse Investment Firm. I guess people, I guess the average Chili Peppers fan is like, you know, 45 and has a lot of money and wants to invest or something. Then when I was listening to Death Clock, all the ads I were getting, I was getting were how to soundproof your house. Because if you're listening to Death Clock, your neighbors probably hate you and you, you need to soundproof your house.
Although I thought maybe YouTube would do that thing where they target ads to you regardless of what you watch.
I don't know. Like, they were basing this on the videos I was watching.
Huh. Okay. Well,
it thinks enough, it knows my brain. It doesn't. So Geico, what does Geico stand for? The insurance company.
The Government Employees Insurance Company. No wonder their mascots are a lizard and a pig. Is that really what Geico stands for?
Yes, it is. It is. Oh. And that's what they used to only do, but now they do everybody, but they still do a lot of that. So, DJ said, no wonder their mascots are a lizard and a pig. One has no feelings and the other is endless gluttony.
That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love Geico's ad campaigns, though. I think they do it right. They have several different ones, and they're all pretty funny.
Yeah. We like the piggy going,
wee, all the way home. And the caveman's, I like those, you know, so easy. Even a caveman can do it.
Man.
Aspirins
of mass destruction, someone says. Mark says.
Ah, Mark.
So this isn't really like pod worthy in any way, but I just want to say this is really funny. So this guy, Oliver Arms, I've talked about him before. He was the guy that when I was speaking at the Museum of Contemporary Art in LA, when I was asked to come speak, and he's really jealous because he was an unknown painter at the time. And he came and in front of a room full of teenagers, he said, hey, Michael, why don't you tell these kids about the time that you had sex with a blow up sheep at a party in front of everybody? Which, you know, did happen, but it was not the place for it. And he was just jealous because, you know, he thought he should be speaking at the MoCA to the interns, the summer interns. But I was asked to show DIY or Die and speak to them. So he's actually now a pretty well-known abstract painter who sells his stuff in hoity-toity galleries. And he has a Wikipedia page now. And I looked at the history of it. And I am almost absolutely convinced that he probably wrote the whole thing himself because most of the major edits are by someone named West German Colonel. First of all, he's a big military history buff. Secondly, all the other edits of West German Colonel on Wikipedia are people who he knows, like people he went to college with, like the guy from Counting Crows, like Martin Bress, the director who first bought his paintings. So all of them, like they're all him. But listen to this quote that he has in there from an interview that he did. This is the most pompous thing I've ever heard. Eradicating the presence of me as an artist and what I'm left with is an inundation because of so many layers sanded down, an inundation that in some pale fashion tries to compare in terms of overload information, of information overload, back to the thing that stimulated it.
Inundation, like a flood of his awesomeness is basically what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, man. It's artist speak. It's art school speak. But like, really, that's the thing you want, you know, on your digital tombstone for like history to know, man.
Yeah. It sounds kind of vague and conceited and boring.
I lived with him, man. Yeah. Although he put up with me too. I was sort of an ass back then, but at least I wasn't like ruining someone's chance to ever get hired back to speak at the MoCA in San Francisco. The creamy MoCA.
Delicious.
We haven't had pod beef in a while. We're having such a good show. I had to ruin it for a minute. So anyway, we're going to get one of the things we're going to do when we get on radio is we're going to go to, you know, get about $100. We need $100. Send us $100 of Bitcoin. No, we're going to go to the 99-cent Bitcoin store and buy a bunch of those little plastic radios and tune them to our frequency in the town and epoxy it on that frequency and put a sticker on it with when our radio show's on and have someone, your friend in Austin, hand them out to the homeless people there.
Yes. That's how he'll help out the fiends. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right.
Radio stamps from the government.
There you go, man. Free radio.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
On Freedom Fiends Live, this is the LRN Live Sunday show, and Michael was just about to tell us something else he needs to do. It's okay to say, hey, I need to do this. It's just pretty gay to say, you know what we need to do? And I don't mean gay like doing it in the butt. I mean, like, it's stupid.
Just dealing with the button sales and sending the buttons out, and then DJ deals with standing in line at the post office and sending them out. You know?
Do what now? You need to send out more buttons is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying like, and furthermore, I'm continuing the argument we were having before the show started.
Oh.
And furthermore, okay. Another thing that I do without being asked, I'm just feeling really like stressed, man. I'm working so hard. I am.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I'm,
man.
I mean, I get it. You know, someone orders buttons within 10 minutes. I package them up, address them, put them for DJ, and then she waits in line at the post office without ever asking to be thanked. Thank you, DJ, for doing the buttons. Yeah.
Yes, said,
yeah.
I will thank her too. Thank you, DJ, and it's I'm sure the fans thank her as well.
Yep. Yeah. Nemus says thank you too.
It's thankless as we're thanking her.
Man, yes. I need some sleep. I have not slept well lately. I've been worried. Worried about the fiends.
Yeah, man. Well, what do you think you need to do to calm yourself down?
Remember my Bitcoin password.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm like that too. Like I'll sit there and marinate or stay stuck.
I love that term.
Juices.
Did you make that up for that?
No. That's no, great. I didn't. There's a Outkast song called Spody Odie Dopalicious. And it's a great Outkast song. I encourage everybody to go play it and listen to it. It is so perfect. And it's like funk. It's not even rap. It's like funkadelic or psychedelic funk. And it's got these awesome horns. And Big Boy and Andre, instead of like spitting a rap verse, they kind of do spoken word. And at the end of Big Boy's little spoken word section, he goes, he basically says, you know, you can't always feed a baby on that dope money because it might not always be sufficient. But the United Parcel Service and the Postal Office didn't call you back because you got cloudy piss. So now you're back to the trap. Just that. Trap. Now go and marinate on that for a little bit.
Hmm.
And I love that. That go and marinate on that for a little bit. Let it sink in. Let it sink in and become internal to you. I've overused it in the past couple episodes, but it'll probably go away from my regular repertoire of words eventually. So if you're getting annoyed by it, just wait a little bit.
Yep. You can have the last half hour. I just talked way too much in the first three, and I've got a stack of fiends button orders to thanklessly address and send out.
Oh man, don't say thanklessly. The fiends thank you for their buttons, don't they?
They do. I need some sleep.
I heard Jeff Tucker tell Ben Stone thank you when Ben Stone gave him some buttons.
Yeah, he said, I really like this one with you on it. I'm going to put it on right now. In other words, I'll probably throw these other ones away, but the one with you is cool.
No.
Told you, man. Thankless.
Ben Stone was right there in front of him, man. I mean, what do you expect?
You're saying Jeffrey Tucker like changes his tune for who he's talking to? I think he's an honest man who deals straight up, man. I think he meant he liked the Ben Stone one better than the other. I don't think he's a liar. I just don't think he loves the fiends.
Okay. Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
Man, this is getting bitter. This is like the end of the therapy session or the bad AA meeting where the drunk comes in and vomits on everybody.
Yeah, this is not redemption in the second hour.
That's why I'm just going to turn off my mic. Here, you take
get
it.
Get a hold of yourself,
take
man.
It, take it, man. Take it.
I'm not even on the chat room. I don't know what's going on today. Did you turn off your mic? Check. Ah, all right. I guess he did. All right, I'm going to go to chat room and see what the chat room people are talking about. And in the meantime, I guess I'm going to talk about, I don't know, man. I guess everybody's talked about this, but I haven't talked about it yet. South Dakota approving guns in classrooms. I kind of feel like, in a sense, they're doing it wrong because it's a top-down enforcement. But then again, there's more things going on here, because what they're saying is, oh, well, you can certainly carry a gun if you're a teacher, which is good because they're kind of taking away some of the old restrictions or regulations. And the stated motivation for this bill in South Carolina, or I guess they passed it, so now it's law. The stated motivation is the possibility of an armed presence in any of our schools is a deterrent, said Senator Craig Teetson, a Republican from Rapid City. And that's good and all. But, man, when was the last time South Dakota had a massive shooting? Like, I kind of feel like all of these rural places that already love gun rights and have armed societies, which can tend to lead to polite societies. What's the point? Like, why do they have to respond to something that had that happened in Connecticut? And I guess the answer is because of the U.S. FedGov and the threat that they might interfere. Like when you saw Piers Morgan go to that Texas gun shop and gun manufacturing place, too. I think they make their own custom guns. And he was like, you know, why have all this? Why buy this 50 caliber machine gun? Why do all this? Why have these things to modify these to be more militarized, Piers Morgan said. And the guy was like, well, because of the fact that the government might take them away. You know, we got to have them now. It's the state's threats to take your freedom that makes these responses happen. The other thing I want to say about this South Dakota bill is they say they want professional law enforcement to protect people and professional teachers to teach people. And they try to make that as sort of a parallel. And that professional law enforcement, or I guess this is somebody responding to it, but man, like we said before in the cast, you're not a professional law enforcement officer if you're a cop. Professionals get paid in the market because they're good at doing what they're doing. Cops get a check if they suck at their job and if they're good at it. They might get promoted more, but what's good to a state-run law enforcement shop is not what's good for the citizens in that town at large. It's not a net good, because what they're doing is not protecting property. What they're doing is enforcing the laws of the state. And so teachers, you know, they're the same kind of thing. They're government employees. They're state agents. Their intention and their motivation is not to make the parents and the kids happy because the parents and the kids are paying customers who can take themselves out of that school and cease to pay the teachers. They're captive audiences. And so, I mean, I think that this is, again, just trimming leaves on the tree to say, well, teachers can have guns now. Great. And in fact, not only can teachers have guns, but they'll be trained by cops. Cops, man. Go read Real Grig. How safe is it that cops have guns? Cops kill innocent people all the time. Do we really want teachers, government bureaucrats, to be the trustees of kids' safety?
They'll turn into cops.
Exactly. And that's what I worry about.
They already kind of are. Although, wait, I'm on strike. I'm not talking. I'm doing Dr. Gene Scott. I'm not going to talk till we get another donation.
Okay. There you go. So yeah, man, what happens when the kid comes and is playing with his toy gun that he didn't know he wasn't supposed to bring to school because of zero tolerance, and the teacher has a gun and she flips out and she goes into cop mode and the cop trained her how to shoot little kids with his target that had a little kid on it? You know, it just seems like the root of the issue is the monopoly force and the fact that these kids are forced to be in this school and are a captive audience. I don't think that the other way works either. I don't think that schools should be gun-free zones and that there should be all sorts of regulations or metal detectors. But the concept is dispersing the power. A gun is power. Disperse it to anybody who wants it, you know, or can seek to have it. Let them acquire it. It's just property. A gun is a piece of property.
Now,
open
Billy,
up everybody to property rights.
Now, Billy, did you bring enough gun for everyone?
Did you bring enough ammo for everyone? Yeah. Did you bring enough 9mm for the class? And did you bring enough 22 for the class?
I'm not talking about shooting people. I'm not, you know, somebody said in the chat room, did you bring enough gum for everyone? I said enough gun.
Enough gun for everyone.
If you bring a gun for everyone in the class,
A gun for everyone. Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of rambly. I was put on the spot, sorry. But, man, you can't just top down everything, man. You got to educate people, not with public school teachers.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yo. All right. Bing, 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 bing. Yeah. Sorry for that. So, yeah, I wanted to ease us into some redemption, man. Here's a little bit of redemption.
I could use some. We got a donation. We got a $10 donation from Edward. Thank you, Edward.
Yes.
Canada, though, can't send buttons. Cost more than that to send them. But I appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Totally.
So I'll talk for the last segment. No, I'm kidding.
Good.
I was going to anyway.
All right. Well, Nina's it was definitely good to have that as an initial redemption. Another more broad redemption, and this coming from Fox News of all places, but I guess they are enemies of the Obama White House in some respects. They have a headline just now. White House retreats from doomsday spending cuts prediction, but keeps blame on the Republicans. Now, I can throw that last half of that compound sentence away. I don't care about who the blame is on. But it's interesting and nice that the Democrats are easing off of this whole sequestration thing, like the world's going to end tomorrow, or what did that one congresswoman say, that we're going to lose 170 million jobs and there's not even that many jobs in existence in the United States. So this whole Chicken Little,
and they said they're going to throw teachers into the meat grinder. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah. They've backed off of that, saying that the cuts will not hurt as much on day one, according to Gene Sperling, the White House's top economic advisor. That's a good example, man. When the government tries to tell you that the world's going to stop without them, they are lying. And this is a good example of calling their bluff and seeing that they hold nothing in their hand but your consent. And all you got to do is stop giving them your consent, man. You just what's that old saying? What do you got to do to topple a dictator? You stop supporting him. You know, you're the one holding him up. You're the leg of the stool. Just walk away.
He said
just
stool. Walk away. You said stool.
Stool, I did. Yeah, man. So that's Redemption 1. And then I've got something that's kind of funny. Back in my news days, we would call this a kicker. And maybe it's a little early, but here's my kicker. So Michael is getting all this new gear, and I know we need it for radio, and it's really awesome.
No, we're getting gear, and it's living at my house.
We're getting gear, and it's living at your house. But you'll get to touch the knobs, man.
I don't want to. You know, you're jealous of this mix. You know, I counted the buttons, knobs, inputs and outputs on that. There are 180 total. And you know what, though?
I
don't want that. I'm really interested in the compressor I'm getting, because I'll use different things on it. But for this, I would rather just pay $360 for a dongle, a little USB plugged in, like a mixer that's going to take up all of this room on my desk. Yeah. I don't want a big mixer. I have to have one.
It's the possibilities are endless. It's just I don't know. I have knob envy, and that's fine. So what I was doing is there's some gear I need.
The reason we keep the expensive gear at my house, we could just as easily do it at your house, but I'm here pretty much 24/7 armed guarding this stuff. You're not always home.
That's true. Although I do have renter's insurance, which is required by my complex.
I have homeowner's insurance.
The requirement because it's a private.
What's your deductible?
I don't know. It's built mine's into.
Lower.
Maybe.
We pay for it. We pay more.
Fair enough.
It's not built into anything. We went out and got it.
Not trying to say that the fancy gear should be at my place. I'm just trying to say that this motivated me to look at a bunch of gear because there's gear I need to.
You're gonna read some of the Chinglish. Yeah. Do you have what I sent you?
I do.
I don't think. Okay.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
Good.
That's why this is a kicker. This is like the squirrel on water skis kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So I was looking for some. Basically, they call it a coffin. Now that's not where you put dead people in DJ speak. That's where you put your tables or your controller or whatever you use to twist and mold and mix.
It's a road case, basically.
It's a road case, a flight case, they call it.
Because you're trying to move away from the pizza delivery, which is dangerous and people are really, really stupid, and they go like, you know, I didn't tell you how to get to my apartment, but it wasn't here in 30 minutes, and they're idiots, and you're going into sketchy neighborhoods, and there's cops. Right. The main danger is cops trying to tax you on the highway, which happens all the time. Yeah. You're trying you are getting into doing more work, doing wedding DJ and wedding videography stuff.
Right. And I've got my DJ 9000, which is our pet name for the Newmark NS7, which is a great piece of gear. And it's really popular, so popular that people making the cases for it, the road cases and the flight cases, they don't seem to be keeping up with demand for those. So a lot of them are on back order and out of stock. So I was kind of looking at some second tier and third and fourth and fifth tier companies that are putting these out. And one of them I came across, I guess I'll leave out the company name because I just said second, fourth, and fifth tier. But I came across this site that actually does gear reviews. And it's a site that I think must be based somewhere else. It's not English is obviously not their first language, and it's hilarious reading their product description. So here is the product description, at least at the end of what I need to fit my Newmark NS7 into. It says, "The blah 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 case to fit Newmark NS7 is extremely most likely. You should be utilized. The simple to use. I also use the blah blah blah. It is amazing. The course is right for you. Perhaps I could use it. It functions well. I would suggest that you use. Then you will like it."
You should be utilized.
I love that. I should be utilized, in fact. Thank you for mentioning.
And then you sent me that, and I was about to send you at the same time the Chinglish that I came across. It was less about the Chinglish and more about the it was Japinglish. It was Japanese, but it was more about the conditions of purchase. Basically, the mixer we need, various places on Amazon, you know, third-party stores had it from $320 to $385, so which is about average for something like that, the spread. And so we got it for $320, shipping included, and I bought some cables we'll need for it, so it was like $360. So, but there was one that was way out of that range. It was a new company that had no user reviews or, you know, like points. They said, "We'll ship from Japan. $695 will take 6 to 12 weeks to arrive, and please to be forgiving of slight damage or color fading occurring during shipping."
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to pay like almost three times as much, wait 11 more weeks. Oh, and they said does not include taxes, shipping, or what the duty from either country. So
they called it import duties or
It was a weird typo. There's an L in front of every word, but
yeah.
The weirdest part of all of that horrible like indentured voluntary servitude to buy the mixer from Japan from someone with no ratings was the I could even see like please be forgiving of damage, slight damage, like cosmetic damage, but color fading. What is this thing going to be like, not in a box, you know, in the sun on the deck of a sardine ship for 12 weeks? How is the color going to fade?
Right It's in case the guys from Whale Wars shoot down the Japanese boat on the way and it's stranded in the desert, you know, with the sun baking it, not in the desert, but you know, in the ocean.
I love all the possibilities of inter-country commerce.
Yes, yes. They're quite funny.
Yeah.
All right.
That one beat Chinglish. I mean, Chinglish is always good, but you know, Chinglish that involves like it may be color faded and it's going to cost you about $2,800 for this, you know, $320 mixer.
Right.
And yeah. Take 11 weeks longer and be damaged and color faded after you pay the taxes and it sits in the customs impound for a year.
Yeah. Because the funny language is nothing but that. It's just funny to laugh at. It doesn't deprive me of extra money, and I'm not laughing.
Give
me a worse product.
And I don't laugh at the people. It's like, how well do we speak Chinese or Japanese? You know, I mean, I give an A for effort. I give an A for effort, and it's just kind of like Dada poetry. But man, the conditions on that Japanese sale were just really. I mean, it's like it'd be easier to buy a brick of cocaine with Bitcoin on Silk Road, and probably safer. Not that we do that.
Speak for yourself. I don't buy cocaine.
Does that come with the? Someone says, does that come with the people they smuggled in the container as well?
Maybe that's it. Maybe you get a free geisha with every purchase, and that's why it's a little bit higher.
No, I want some Japanese Imperial Army.
Ah, okay.
To guard my equipment.
Well, if you want that, you're going to have to make the trade-off. You're going to have some color shading.
Don't be throwing shade on me, brother.
It's a little bit of give and take, Michael.
You're throwing color shade. You marinate on that for a while. Yeah, boy, Comrex.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, and one last thing. Oso Ocean, who's one of my favorite rappers who's not super famous, is coming out with the new mixtape, The Whole 9-2. So keep your eye out for that.
That was me cocking my whole nine right there.
Nice. Thank you, fiends. We'll see you later.
Thank you, fiends. It's been a pleasure to be of service.